legs on him. What a performance and what a try. To Hall, oh that's a good one. Oh, Meninga's got it again. Now then, he's a big man, but he's a fast man this lad. It's a race between Fairbairn. Oh, Meninga, he's holding Gary Clark up and he's scored. What a try! Well, this man cost £30,000 for the season. For St Helens, and how well he's rewarding those fans. Hanley. He's still going, Ellery Hanley. Oh, and he's still going! And he's still going! Goodness gracious me, this could be the try of the season! What a try from Ellery Hanley! Oh, that's a good heel. Towards to Drummond. Oh, he has an opportunity. Look at the speed on this man, and he's over. Oh, what a magnificent try.
He gives some hope.
Clark, good pass to Betts. Betts to Davis. Davis, he's got some space. He's going for the corner. He's got his head back. And the Welshman is in for a magnificent try at the corner. That's the speciality.
Hello, I'm Rob Lund. Welcome to What Would Brian Bevan Say? So, with the magnificent England girls winning the Euros last week, where are my two penalty-taking podcasters? Firstly, he takes his spot kicks cool, calm and collectively. Yeah, statistically researching every goalkeeper before striking the ball. It's Sam Sankey.
Bonjour.
And also, he hobbles up to the spot, closes his eyes and puts his laces through it in a blind hope just once, yes, just once, he might not put it 18 foot over the bar. It's Dennis Waywell.
All right.
Now, we find ourselves, boys, again, on three different time zones. Very early here in Sydney, Wednesday morning, 6:42 a.m. Dennis over there in the UK, what, 9:42 a.m. But Mr. Sankey, location and time, please.
The time is 10:43. I am about 50 metres from the banks of the Loire River in Saumur, in France,
right. Yeah. I'm glad you remembered that bit.
He's very relaxed, isn't he, Dennis? He's very, look at him, look, like leaning back.
I think we should play the caveat sound now.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm in a hotel built in the 1700s.
He's just waffling on. Listen, just waffling
he's
on.
He's pissed. He's pissed, isn't he?
Yeah.
I've got my Cremant in my hand, served to me by a beautiful French lady downstairs who can't do enough for myself or Mrs. Sankey.
Oh, menage a trois.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Yeah. Mm. There's a chateau.
Why, what's wrong with Mrs. Sankey? Oh, God. Is he going to waffle like this all the way through the podcast?
He's pissed. That's why I was saying we should do the caveat. Hammered.
I've been on a wine tasting tour today on the bike.
Yeah.
Right. And a bit of what, I don't know what that show's called. Escape to the Sun's been going on, hasn't it, Sam?
It has, yes. A bit of Escape to the Sun. That's if Gavin ever fucking calls me.
Just say in the green room, we've had a big chat about Gavin, Sam's real estate agent there in France, who's not been pulling his weight.
And that went on to a hospice, didn't it?
Oh, God.
I put you off now, haven't I?
No, not at all, not at all. You know, location, and Escape to the Sun. They always have their little key bullet points they want. They always want a kitchen diner. What's Mrs. Sankey after, Sam? What's on her KPIs?
Two bedrooms. Mm. That's
one for you, one for her.
Yes, we have.
Oh, he's too relaxed. This is ridiculous, Dennis. Never seen him like this before.
I'm in my happy place. What can I say? Loire Valley, my happy
place.
You'll
need to be when we discuss Lee, which we'll move on to now. The team was Dufty, Josh Thewlis, Wrench, King, Jake Thewlis, Williams, Sneed, Yates, Pal Vaughan, Stone, Fitzgibbon and Curry. Interchange bench was Philbin, Ryan Matteson made his debut, Wood and Walker returned. Here's the highlights.
Williams dancing across, and Matteson going hunting for something, and then offloaded back to Powell again, and Powell just puts the accelerator down, the tackle's high again, right in front of the sticks.
With a cowboy, a gangster, a politician.
It's Lamb, and here's Tessie New, and he gets a penalty.
The Leopards turn to tear into these Wolves here, coming away, Ryan Matteson.
Oh, my goodness, Walker just got a telling hand on that. And Curry now will get it away to Josh Thewlis. And Thewlis puts the foot down back on the inside, drifting past defenders. Charlie forlornly dives at it. Thewlis is still going. This is sensational. And now he's looking for support on the inside. And it's going to be Dufty who will finish. And that is one of the outstanding tries of any Super League season. Tackle tackle there. They did get a touch on that. The referee's not indicating another set of six. And King just pouncing on it. And Williams is there in support as well. Puts the kick to the corner. The chase is on here for Jake Dulis.
Now I'm buying time and filling up my glass.
And Lee in decent position, but they're on the last play. Warrington back on their own line. O'Brien puts the kick through. I think there might have been a Warrington hand there. There's a dive from Hanley, who's claiming the try.
My body's weak and my mind is dead. Ooh, oh, oh.
Here he comes. Potential match-winning moment. Sneed strikes it. He's got height. He's got distance. And he has got the accuracy. Spins it back to Lamb. Lamb goes out wide to Hanley. Hanley just goes for the line. And has he got that down?
Loves you. Woman, I'm the woman that you love. Woman.
Mbappe has a look. Goes right again. Has he got over? Has he got over? Yes, he has. Oh, my word.
Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. Final score, Lee 20, Warrington 16. There were tries for Dufty and Jake Thulis. Sneed kicked both conversions. He also kicked two penalty goals. Referee lived up to his name, Liam Poor. Attendance 9361. Now, there's that old saying, Sam, a game of two halves, but this was a game of 73 minutes and 7 minutes.
It was, or more to the point, it was a game of Sam wasn't taking any notice of it at all. Warrington built up a large lead. Sam suddenly noticed we were winning, switched the radio on, and then we lost. So it's clearly my fault because I decided that rather than staying in my room overlooking a BP car wash in Ashford, because we'd driven down on the edge of tunnel, I would take Mrs. Sankey out for a nice meal and just a small glass of something.
You know what it's like, this, Dennis? It's like Ronnie Corbett when he's giving the joke at the end on the two runnies. When will this ever fucking end? Jesus.
And the producer said,
I feel I'm not going to have to contribute much tonight. It's going to be the Sam Pissed show, isn't it?
Oh, God.
I can totally recommend the Curious Brewery in Ashford, next to the
I'm sorry,
Ashford
listeners.
International.
I'm really sorry about this.
Hotel. Anyway, yes, and they threw it away, didn't they? But I wasn't watching. I only caught the last 20 minutes or so. So it's hard for me to comment or bad.
Yeah.
Or to comment at all whenever
I seem to be struggling.
Wine.
Yeah. You know, one thing, I'm going to interrupt you, Sam, because I feel like you might just waffle
That's
on.
That's fine,
Rob, you've been really quiet of late when you were watching the matches and things. So what was your situation with the Lee match? Did you watch it live?
I didn't quite watch it live. I woke up, it was about 25 past five when I woke up. So I was a little bit behind, but I had caught up for the last 7 minutes because I fast-forward through the scrums, fast-forward through half-time, fast-forward through Fitzpatrick, you know, all those kind of things that, you know, box standard you need to do. But it kind of crept up on me as well because I was sort of, by that stage, I was sort of half up making breakfast and I sort of suddenly looked at the score and went, whoa, what's happened here? We were cruising to victory. So I did go back yesterday and I watched the last 7 minutes. He actually puts the ball down for the first of those last two tries, I think on 6 minutes and 1 second. But it starts about 7 minutes. It starts with a kerfuffle down the other end. There's higgledy-piggledy mess where King tries to claim a try and it's not a try. And then they're given the ball right on their own line and they go upfield and score in six tackles. They go the entire length. The big mistake is Fitzgibbon, who doesn't bend his back. The ball goes down the right-hand side. Fitzgibbon makes the lamest of tackles, can't bend at all, and he pushes him off, and it ends up with Sneed bringing him down, down the right-hand side. Then the ball is floated to the left. Now they're on a bit of a roll, and it's a one-on-one with that big Lee centre against Curry, who's in the centres, and he just palms Curry off. Curry falls on his arse, and they go another 40 metres down the left-hand side, and eventually they score the try. Then again, we've got them on their own line, and they come away so comfortably. And at one point, I think we get to the fifth tackle, and it's Stone who doesn't bend his back, and he gives a high tackle. And they get another set of six, and they score on about the third play of the ball going forward. I mean, they're out on their feet. But I did think there was three old men out there that really struggled in those last few minutes in Fitzgibbon, Stone, and Curry. I all thought those three really... But he didn't rotate his bench.
Mm.
Wood.
Was there someone missing?
No, he just sat Wood on the bench all game. So a question, what does that do for Wood's confidence? Oh, he stuck me in the team again, but he's only going to give me 5 minutes at the end. Mm. And also... he cannot read the game, that they're all tired and maybe he should be rotating a bit more. So,
can I ask, because obviously I wasn't watching, but I heard what Radio Manchester, who were clearly a little biased towards Lee, and they said we had dominated the match more or less for 60 minutes. So why didn't we manage to put them away?
Well, again, it's that one option. We've got one option, which is a lame Sneed kick to King. It used to be a kick to the corner for Toby King. Now it's a lame kick to the corner for Toby King. I mean, there's no height on it like Breers used to do or whoever else was kicking it for him. It's just a little soft little... it's like a sand wedge. And that's all we've got. We've got nothing else.
I have noticed... about Toby King. He's had his eyebrows done. Oh. I think he's having them waxed. If you watch a close-up of Toby King, you can see his eyebrows tail off, like quite neatly arranged and stuff like that. So just thought I'd put that out there. That might be of interest.
Sam, you got any more stories for us? Now we've got to that stage.
Well, that's better than waxing your eyebrows.
Walker made a big difference.
Yes, you were pleased with that, were you? And obviously, from our perspective, the moment of the match was Fewless bouncing off about 20 tackles to make a break.
Yeah. I mean, bit of Super League tackling going on there. They called it one of the greatest assists in Super League history, but I watched there was highlights last night of it. I think it was the first opening test on the GB Lions tour. Powell's playing in the centre, Schofield's at six, Andy Gregory's at seven. They are knocking hell out of each other. I'm pretty sure Fulis wouldn't have got across field had he been playing the Kangaroos or Great Britain that afternoon. It was just ferocious. So anyway, yeah, it was what it was. I thought the introduction of this new lad, Ryan Matteson, albeit too late as the season's coming to a close, I thought he played well. I'm not sure why they took him off. I would have taken Fitzgibbon off. Fitzgibbon looked out on his feet, but they took Matteson off, the younger guy, and paid the consequences. I mean, they were bigging up Yates again, and there's no doubt he puts in a tremendous effort. He's a bit of a Danny Nuttley. 43 tackles.
Oh, yes, that's a good comparison, yeah.
43 tackles, 109 metres, but he shouldn't be anywhere near the front row. You keep starting the game with one prop. Just don't, because they've got nothing else. You know, you've got, who's the other lad? Harrison, who's out, who's got shoulders as wide as a brown snake. There's just no depth when it comes to the props, which we'll come on to in a bit, because we've clearly gone out and put all our money into props next year. But, yeah, it was classic Warrington, wasn't it? Classic Warrington.
We lost Connor Wrench during the game as well, didn't we? Did that did that have a big impact? You said Curry had to go out to centre.
I actually thought it made us a better team because Curry can hold a pass up and throw a ball. He knows very nicely how to pass a ball. And I didn't think Curry put a step wrong, apart from the palm off at the end. And that number three for Lee, he's going to palm off most people one-on-one. Curry just got isolated and he got pushed off. But I think Curry is a gifted sportsman. And we've talked about this. Wrench doesn't have a clue how to draw a man and pass a ball. He's got no idea of balance and how to throw a pass. So, no, I didn't think that was the problem. I just thought it was a team that was out on its feet right at the end and things didn't quite go our way. But I go back and watch the Fitzgibbon effort that sort of is the start of it all, and it's so poor to see. He can't go around another year, that guy. He's finished. He's out on his feet. Dennis?
Yeah. I think you were right. I think you are right. I think it was like the last 7 minutes. Was just tired and just couldn't do it. You know, I think you sent a message today. I don't know if we'll cover it, but like this goes back to the Steve Price era, doesn't it? Is that resilience to finish the 80 minutes.
Mm.
And I think this reminds me of that period where we put in some strong performances, but we didn't quite sort of finish a match off. And I feel like we've almost reset back about how many years ago was that? Oh, that's a few years ago, wasn't it? Mm. Do you want to remember the Steve Price era? Sam?
Well, a few things on Steve Price. We did put a vote out yesterday. Hypothetically, who would you like to see coach Warrington in 2026, Sam Burgess or Steve Price? And it got a whole heap of votes, and it went in the favour of Steve Price. 65% would rather see Steve Price at the helm next year, just 35% Sam Burgess. You had a magic French wand down there. Well, I won't talk about your French wand, but if you had a magic to bring back Steve Price, Sam, next year, just for one season, who would you prefer for one season next year, Sam Burgess or Steve Price?
Oh, it's a hard answer, but I think Price was much maligned, really. Sometimes you don't know what you've got till it's gone, do you? He was compared to Burgess, he was dull, he was efficient, he was quiet, whereas Burgess is your big personality. We're massively up one week, we're massively down the next. I can understand why the vote went that way.
Did he answer that question?
No, he didn't. He didn't. I'm waiting for you to answer.
He classically squirmed around it like a Frenchman, didn't he? Never going to be next to you in the trenches, are they?
I don't know. It could be this. It could be that. Is that racist?
He hangs around with a lot of racist people because he sent me a clip this week, Dennis, on WhatsApp, which had Chinese whispers in there. And also, what was the other word he used? Nobbing. I mean, misogynistic, racist. These are the kind of people he hangs around with. That's great. Yeah.
17 minutes, 42 for the cut. Just on that one. So, Rob, would you have Steve Price or would you have Sam Burgess?
I'd have Steve Price.
You would?
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. No question. I mean, I don't think it would be the answer to all our problems, but I would go Daryl Powell, Steve Price. I'd go them all. Who's that bloke who learnt to fly a plane? Plange. I'd go Plange.
Yeah. What about Anderson?
I'd get Steve Anderson back in. Yeah. Tony Barrow. Yeah. Get them all back in. Yeah, no question about it. Now, I was going to play the clip of Jenna Brooks speaking to Sam Burgess, but there's some DJ in the background playing music at 400 decibels. You think they'd sort that out on Sky. You think they would go and chat to them and say, we're about to do interviews, we're trying to promote the game, stop playing the fucking hoodie gurus in the background. But they didn't. So the opening lines were Jenna Brooks, Sam, let's sum up the closing stages first. Where did it go wrong? To which Burgess replied, well, I'm not talking about where it went wrong. I thought it was a great performance. To analyse that, it's over to Hal.
Great question, and a classic rugby conundrum. Technically, Burgess isn't wrong in using the word performance, but calling it a great performance is highly debatable. Here's why. Performance refers to the overall display of skill, effort, and execution. If the team played very well for 73 out of the 80 minutes, that's a strong performance for the majority of the game. However, performance also includes the final 7 minutes, and if those 7 minutes were disastrous enough to cost his team the game, it taints the entire performance. So when Burgess says it was a great performance, he's focusing on the 91% that went well, and burying his head up his own ass for the crucial 9% of the game. Conclusion. It's a bit like baking a cake perfectly but dropping it on the floor right before serving it. Impressive technique, sure, but you're still left with a clusterfuck of a mess to clean up.
Now, Sam, you've baked a few cakes over the years, but I presume you very carefully bring them to the table and present them, don't you?
You do. I thought, I was wondering where that was going, and then it did make me chuckle at the end with a clusterfuck on the floor, however you dress it up.
He doesn't like being interviewed, Dennis, does he?
He doesn't like any of this stuff. He's getting worse as we go on. He's just getting worse. Look, I mean, Sam Burgess is coming out with drivel. I mean, we just mentioned about Steve Price and, I had the unfortunate opportunity to speak to Steve Price. I never really understood what he was actually trying to articulate about the game. And when you look at that sentence, well, I'm not talking about where it went wrong. Well, surely that's what you want to talk about when you've lost a game, isn't it? Where it went wrong, why you've lost it. Oh, it was a great performance. It now means that we're out of the top six. And like you said, Jenner didn't really push the question, like, you know, oh, is your season over?
Had enough. And there's a classic moment at the end of Sky's commentary where they're wrapping up. Jenner's leaving with her shopping bag in the background across the stand. It's just like Eric Morecambe in Morecambe and Wise. You know when Ernie's doing the song on his own. Yeah. And Eric catches him in the background and then comes forward at the end. Jenna's like, let's get out of this way. I want to get home. Oh, dear. Yes, it's depressing. It's depressing. Burying his head in the sand, I think, is... Or, you know, doesn't want to talk about it, does he? He's been sent to the principal's office and he just looking down at his feet.
Yeah. Do you want to fill your glass up before I ask you the next question?
It's like a flute. Okay. It just keeps going down all the way to the bottom of the stem there.
As you are our mathematical genius, the mathematics to enable us to get into the top six with probabilities and, the calculation?
Oh, I've done the probability.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, we still have got a chance.
Okay.
It's smaller than pi. It's 0.246.
0.246, okay. Percent chance,
percent.
Is that?
That's correct, yeah.
Have you had any nice pie there in France, Sam? What's been your sort of go-to? Having any desserts or...?
I do like a dessert. Mm. Clearly you've seen me of late, but I'd rather go starter than main. It's very beef heavy here.
Excellent.
Whereas I was hoping for a little bit more canard. I was hoping for a little bit of duck confit.
Sorry?
So, what's going on? I was hoping for a little bit of duck confit.
Ah, yeah. Right, okay. There's another load of listeners.
Been some nice fish. Yeah. Some nice fish, some nice oysters. And it's all served with the local Cremant.
Still going. Still going.
Yeah.
How much wine have you bought now? Because I'm just thinking about the weight of your car. What sort of car have you got? Just remind the viewers. Is it a Countryman? Is it?
I'm not sure I should say it out loud. You'll have me talking about my red. It is a Mini Countryman.
It's a Countryman, yeah. He can't help it, can he? He's actually took the O out the back of it, you know, on the back of the car. It just says Countryman. So I've worked out that the volume, you should be able to get about 14 cases of wine in the back. How many cases have you purchased so far?
We purchased 2 cases today.
Just 2 cases today. Okay. If you could just send me a tally every day of the week, just to make sure. Mm. So
I wrote to him on Monday. I said, "What's French for pot belly?" And he wrote back, "Le fat bastard." So there we go.
Yeah, I'll be contacting customs.
I tell you what, nothing is sacred with you, is it, London? Nothing is
oh,
sacred.
Oh, I've had some texts this week which are sacred. Trust me, I've had information this week that is very sacred. We'll talk about that in the green room at the end if Sam's still awake.
Jesus.
Talking of stats, I mean, you're our stats man. I mean, there was a try for, I think, Jake Foley scored, but also Dufty scored. He seems to score a lot away from home. What are his stats playing away from home, Sam? What could you give us some?
He's prolific away
is
from
he?
Home.
Is he?
He's
prolific away from home. That's interesting, isn't it? Mm. So, Well, someone who did sum it up very well in the Burgess Effect was Kevin Brown. He was on the All Out Rugby League podcast this week. Here's what he had to say.
Well, it's attitude. That's all it is. Defence is attitude, and they'd showed.
Yeah,
like
but
Matt
there hasn't
said.
There hasn't been much player turnover. So what's it? What's it?
Well, the novelties wore off a little bit.
Novelty of what?
Of the Sam Burgess Effect. I think when Sam came in and spoke about, you know, it was built on hard work and effort, then, you know, people bought into that. They went to an army camp. This year they went to a summer camp. And I just think that the narrative's changed. It's gone from, you know, we want defensive-minded players, and then they go and sign Mark Snead, who is one of the best attacking footballers, but his defensive issues have been there all his career. Mm-hmm. And he's taken that look. But I say that it's all about attitude. At the cup final, they had something to care about.
They should have won the game. They should have won the game.
Defensively, they was unbelievable. Yeah. So it shows they can do it, and it's not a technical thing. It's not a personnel thing. It's between their ears.
The novelty's worn off of the Sam Burgess Effect. Last year, an army camp. This year, a summer camp. We did Heidi High last year, Dennis, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Yes. It's
a year ahead.
True, hasn't it? Yeah. You know, it's the Burgess Effect. We've got the needle showing the Burgess Effect, which you keep publishing. It's currently showing in the red. He's off back to Bondi. And yeah, it's a summer camp. Is he basically saying we've gone soft? Is that what's happening?
Definitely. I think he's summed it up perfectly. I don't think that's the only issue. I think that's one issue. I think the other issue is recruitment has been.
Yeah.
So I think put that in there as well. Mm. But, you know, it'd be like Heidi High. Was it Ted? Who was the compare?
Ted Bovis.
Ted leaves. And was it Spike? What was the other one? What was the other one called that he shared that he was a bit shit? He'd be promoted to head of comedy at Heidi High, and it wouldn't work. That'd be what it was. Mm. Is Ruth Maddock still alive?
Oh God, no! We're not this. Just for the listener, we have spent about half an hour in the green room talking about who's died this week. So let's lift the spirits up. Come on, Sam. Do you need to fill your glass up? Come on, fella.
No. I'm okay.
Are you in agreement, Sam, with Kevin Brown?
Yes, I am actually, and in some ways, I've mentioned this before. It sort of doesn't matter what is going on; it's the perception of not just fans but opposition teams and opposition fans. The perception is, oh, Warrington are a bit soft this year, so no one's frightened of us, and therefore they come. You know what I mean? We are.
Where would you like to send them, Sam? To just sort of like, you know, scare people and show a bit of grit? What sort of thing? Like working the bins. Bob Jackson used to work the bins. I thought that
he
was.
He did, didn't
like,
he?
You know, yeah. You know, picking them up, throwing them in there.
Chaddy.
With a bit
wasn't
of anger.
Chaddy on the bins as well? Wasn't he on the bins as well?
No, I'm not sure.
Pretty sure he was, yeah.
But the point is, it's an easy stick to beat them with. It's the same. It's the same as if you're winning, and you're seen out in Stockton Heath having a beer. Everyone says, "Oh, he's deserved it." If you're losing every week and you're seen out in Stockton Heath having a beer, they don't care. They're just on the piss all the time, and it's that perception when they.
More than a pub in Stockton Heath. What about more like a podium in a high end city?
Well, I was thinking, would you have a different attitude if they were out in Orford? having a drink.
That's a good point. You would, wouldn't you? You'd be totally different.
Would you think, God, you know.
Well, didn't Powell refer to them as the Cheshire Set? Wasn't that he's saying? He got one of the things he said in the changing room to them was they were, you know, they were all the Cheshire Set. They were all soft. They didn't like that, but maybe he's got a point. Now he's back in Yorkshire.
What would you do, Rob? Would you send them down the mine or something? Is that what you're thinking?
Could be a good thing. Well, like, first of all, I'd move the Halliwell Jones to St Helier. I think we should be playing out of Jersey. I think that would be first of all. And then what I would do is, because of course, was it Old Aniti that went lame, or was it Red Rum? I can't remember which one it was, but they used to Red Rum used to run on the sands at Southport.
That's right. Yes.
And he was sold for like £3 because he was lame, and the salt, the sea air, and the salt water. So I think get Toby King running up and down the front in Jersey could take that flat footedness out. I think that would be.
But don't you think Jersey is a bit posh and a bit soft for them? Shouldn't they be in Rill or something like that, dodging the needles on the beach? That'd be a bit harder, wouldn't it? A bit more risk.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I keep going back to... He lost them dancing on a podium in Vegas. That's when he lost them. That was the start of all this. He didn't set an example. Alex Ferguson, Bill Shankly, Ron Atkinson... Wouldn't be.
Ron Atkinson. I
was trying to think of three great football.
Bobby Robson.
Bobby Robson.
Brian Clough.
Ah, dear. Wouldn't be dancing on a podium. Wouldn't be dancing.
I'd like to see Brian Clough on a podium. That'd be really cool.
It probably
was
towards the end.
Oh, amazing. Right. Sum that up. Before we move on to the rest of the scores and stuff, now that we're only at 0.246%, are we really bothered about the rest of the season? How's everybody feeling?
Is this the last podcast of the year? Should we go
I knew
early?
He was going to say that.
Shall we go early? I mean, I think I've put that in the watermark on this script this week, haven't I? I'm going to put that on the watermark. Shall we just stop now and come back next year? We'll take a vote.
Okay. Who's going to vote on it?
Well, the three of us.
Before you do, Mrs. Sankey said to me, "Have you got a podcast?" I said, "Yes." She said, "You're not really bothered too much, are you?" I said, "No." I said, "I've had enough of Super League this year. It's just passed me by."
Oh, I thought he was going to say the podcast.
No. There's been three games, I think, where I really got out of my seat and was excited. One was Wembley, then one was a semi-final. I think it was either the first or the second St. Helens game we played. And Super League itself is leaving me cold. I'm watching more NRL. Mm. It's Wigan this week. Normally I'd be, we're playing Wigan this week. Mm. Can't be asked. Huh? And she said, so what?
I think it's your age. Said,
it possibly is. And I said, "Why are you doing it?" It says, "Because I don't want to let my two mates down."
Oh, that's nice.
Not to do with rugby.
Who were they?
Nothing to do with rugby. It was because you two. And just about today.
Well,
It wasn't about the post of the podcast overall and rugby overall.
Still
it was
going.
About, well, I'm on holiday, but I can't be arsed with them. I just can't be arsed with them. And we're going to come on to it in a minute.
Are we?
The reason I'm doing it is because I'm ready for a rant about these 12 to 14 teams.
Oh, you're not. You're not another one of these gammons, are you? God.
That's got him out, that, Sam. I like that. Oh. I could see him deflate as soon as he said it.
Round 20 results over a split weekend. Wakefield 15, Leeds 14, Wigan 28, Catalans 18, Pangai Junior didn't play, Hull 14, Uddisfield 30, Salford 12, Hull KR 74, they really struggled with them like we did, St Helens 40, who really struggled against Castleford, nil. Although, Warrington Academy 19, Leeds Academy 18. So maybe we should start doing a podcast on Warrington Academy. That would be better fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Do we know who plays for
And we did say last week, last time, we'd noticed they were doing well. We'd mentioned, but then you said, Rob, you'd seen that Leeds, everyone we'd won matches against, Leeds had put an extra 20 on them.
They had.
We thought this would be, and yet
they did it.
Give the lads the due.
Where did they go for their pre-season? Quasar? Where would they have gone to? For some...
Mine, Ed Butlins.
They were probably running around Vicky Park and like it.
Where did we go this year? Where did we go? Was it Tenerife or something?
Weather, didn't we?
Oh, Portugal or something, wasn't it? All topping up on the towns.
Portugal, whatever.
Do you need to get another drink, Sam? I'm getting very concerned about seeing that empty
glass. Have a look at his flute. Is he low on his flute?
Yeah.
No, well, Mrs. Sankey's turned over and I think she's going to sleep, although she's probably still
awake.
So I can't send her down to the bar. Can't send
you in
her
a hotel,
bar,
are you? Is it hotel?
Oh, I thought you had a bottle in your room. You've bought two cases. Go on, crack it open. Come on, crack it open.
You're on holiday, Sam. Come on, you're on holiday.
Just sleep now.
Yeah. Oh, here he is. Didn't take much, that. Didn't take much to persuade him.
I think he's got screwed top, so it must be cheap, really.
He's gonna shit the bed if he's not careful.
Yeah, there he goes. Oh, look at that.
Full bottle.
That's going to make a noise, that one, Sam.
It's going to wake Mrs. Sankey up when he pops that.
Go on.
It's from the mini bar.
Oh.
Why don't you go down to the bar and have a crack at that waitress? Go on.
You're getting in trouble.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. You'll be all right. This is great, this pub. Oh, are you not opening it?
No.
Tight-fisted.
Let's have a look at the league table then. So Warrington remain on 18 points with a minus 75 goal difference. Hull are in seventh on 21 points, 3 points ahead of us with a plus 24 goal difference. And Wakefield now find themselves 4 points in front on 22 points with 160 plus goal difference. Do you want to redo that math, Sam? I think you might need to put another naught in after the point. Well done, Daryl. I had a message from Daryl this week. A little message from Daryl.
Oh, right.
So that was nice. Just rubbing salt in the old wound.
Yeah. What was he saying?
Well,
any emoji?
There was an emoji, there was an emoji. He's in a very happy place.
Oh, right.
Amazing when you buy in. It's amazing when you buy in and the board's behind you. It's amazing what you can do. Interesting.
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
Super League's 12 current clubs. Should we just move over from this, Dennis? We just move on to the next news section because he's about to go off, isn't he? Super League's 12 current clubs have voted to expand the competition to 14 teams from next season. In a statement, the league said the expansion would take place by combining the club grading with an independent panel. It means under the system, Super League, Championship and League One clubs will be assessed based on points calculated by on and off field performance in order to decide who will make up the top flight rather than promotion and relegation between the divisions. Before Mr. Sankey goes on a 20 minute rant, here's Carl Fitzpatrick on Sky talking about the same topic.
Thanks very much for joining us. As I'm sure you can be well aware of, you are well aware of, and can understand, as Jenna said, there's a lot of questions out there, a lot of people scratching their heads. Why 14? Why 2026? This seems to have snuck up on us on Monday.
Yeah, well, first of all, Brian, thanks for having me on the guest tonight. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may throw at me. I think, first of all, it's important to state our position with the 14 teams. We made this clear in the meeting, as did others to before.
This is the Warrington Wolves.
This is Warwick Mine and the Warrington Wolves. First of all, we wasn't going to die on the hill of 14 teams. Whether we have 10, whether we have 12, whether we have 14, 16, 18, whatever the league composition looks like, we don't think it's a silver bullet, as do many in that room as well. okay, we believe, I mean, the importance of PR, promotion, marketing the sport, okay? Of course, the league composition needs to be considered, and it was a healthy debate for 3+ hours, and they arrived at the conclusion of the room that, I mean, 14 teams on balance is probably the best way to go forward. Okay, why do we believe that? As I say, we wasn't driving that through. We was quite balanced on it. But the removal of the loop fixtures was a big one for us. Okay, we consult with supporters, and most supporters are not fans of the loop fixtures. Also, competition integrity as well. So those are the two big factors from our perspective.
I've heard loop fixtures a lot. We've had loop fixtures since 1999. There's been multiple opportunities through various iterations of league structures to get rid of loop fixtures. Why this year?
Absolutely.
1999.
Super League has been going for 20 years, and I've made this point. And we've had 10 different iterations of Super League. So again, labouring the point here, 14, I mean, is not going to solve all our problems. But in consultation, and the IMG, also the analysis of the survey with the supporters, also highlighted that there's supporter fatigue. If you draw a certain corporate team in the playoff, they're not playing 5 or 6 times, and supporters don't want that.
That's been the case for 25 years, is my point. You've never been driven to change it before.
Yeah, and now we're making a decision to do so. I mean, and also, this is just the start of the strategic review. Okay? I mean, the 40 teams is the first point. Okay? It's now what happens after that is probably the most important thing.
The first thing I noticed is that when he started the interview, he says, "I'm open to all your questions you can throw me." Hmm. And then when the lady... pundit asked the question, he didn't answer
Jody
it.
Cunningham.
He just he tried to throw it back at her. And like, I've had people like that in work situations before, and I would have just said, "Actually, I'd rather you just answer me question," because I think he was like, you know, acting up there, because she asked a really good question. Does it devalue the player sort of quality in the league by having everything? And I actually think that's one question that we all want to know. And he actually purposely avoided that question. So, yeah, that wasn't a fucking good start. So, Sam, I'll let you carry on from here.
OK, don't worry. I'm not going to rant for 10 minutes, maybe just for one. I actually agree with the principle of moving to 14 teams. 14, for me, fits better than loop fixtures. I don't disagree with that. But why are we knee-jerking it for next season when we've got other, when we've got teams who are being told in August, "I tell you what, we'll promote two of you this year"? And when will they actually get to find out? Late September, October, when everyone else has been, when everyone else has been and got the better players that are available. Hand-picked. We're going to put 12 in via grading, then we're going to hand-pick two. Well, that just screams lawsuit to me. If you're graded 13th or 14th and they promote team 16th or 17th ahead of you, that just screams, "I'm going to the courts."
Well, here's a load of bollocks that Cal Fitzpatrick was sticking out there, because he was saying that, in the context is that we want to check the finances of the two teams, because the IMG finance assessment isn't good enough. And then I thought to myself, well, hang on, if you're going to do that for the two teams, surely you need to do it for the other 12. And bear in mind that Salford are in a right pickle. You need to do the same for all the other 12, don't you? So it's just like really poor, unprofessional. I think
My God, you too. It's six. We started this podcast at 6:25, and I don't want to bring it back to Oasis, but I still get a little bit of morning glory. I am now completely flaccid. Can I just say that?
Okay. Well, the final thing I'll say is either one of you two or it was one of the What Bevin panel sent a clip of Chris Radlinski being interviewed. Wigan abstained from the vote because Wigan were promised that paperwork on what they were doing would be circulated before the meeting for people to consider. No paperwork was circulated, and it was just presented fait accompli at the meeting. What the fuck? It's an amateurish
Rydlinski's not amateurish. Rydlinski is articulate.
No, yeah, he's Super League.
Different level. Yeah. He's a different level in terms of the way he presents himself and what he's about. My biggest concern was, I watched it and I showed Mrs. London it, was the ineptitude of Fitzpatrick's presentation skills. I can't believe they've not sent him on a presentation course. Like I mean, it's what I've done for the last 20 years. And I can show you anyone who hasn't presented before. And they always have a twitch or they put their head down. He slumped, he rolled his words, he slurred his words. He was bouncing off one foot, then the next foot, back and two, looking down at the grass. Just the whole style in his approach is not, it just doesn't, it's not conducive to like him. And also he's a bit car salesman in the way he comes across. And, well, thank you, I'll answer any question. It's very sort of cheesy and Midwest American-y style. And then you watch Rydlinski, eye contact, delays his words, his articulation. I mean, there's no Wigan accent with Rydlinski. I mean, he's the guy you send to London. You don't send Fitzpatrick to London if you want to get a big sponsorship deal. That bloke walks in. He looked nervous to me.
He looked nervous. Oh, and they're the other two things that have come out. Obviously, it's people putting their agendas out there, but sources close to Sky say they weren't consulted. That's one that's been in all the press, and they're your main broadcast partner. And on a separate thing, on governance, Sport England are currently investigating the Rugby League because they might be about to pull all the grants back because of what they've recently done with Nigel Wood.
Did you see the other clown, the clown from Lee? The clown from Lee trying to put something out about everyone putting a pound on something. It just completely void of mathematics. Did you see that one?
No. Oh, what you mean? How much they're contributing to the Perpignan economy and stuff like that?
I don't know. He was going on about, and you just watch it and think, you know, anyone 20 miles south of Crewe just looks at it and thinks, you fucking northern gimp. I mean, that's what, it's just run by a bunch of fucking
But the annoying
northern
thing,
clown.
Though, is that it just shows the incompetence. And I agree. I think Chris Rydlinski actually sort of articulated it in a more balanced way as a leader of a business should. And yet we've got our CEO who's doubling down on the fuckery of it all anyway.
And he came out with some woeful line at the end, didn't he? He came out with some little motto at the end about, you know, clicks or... I can't remember what he said, but something was just like, shut up. Yeah. Go away.
Yeah, any sort of news to get us in the headlines, and that on top of that, they've released an advertisement for the match this week, Retro Weekend. It's got Dufty's face on it. Well, he won't be there. And then the other thing, they're filming Ben Westwood round the bloody car park.
To the lowest common denominator. They are appealing, aren't they, to anyone with an IQ under 80. I mean, it's
you were worried about me ranting.
But I'm not on about it. Rydlinski was saying about how they tried to promote some game about, you know, having a pie or something after the game at Dewsbury or something. I'm not sure what he was going on about, but he gets it. He gets it that lose this cloth cap, stereotypical image, and Benny Westwood turning up. Oh, my God. Like, just
it almost makes
me want to go and watch the British Lions. Like I almost feel that void of watching rugby league and how thick they all are. It's just insulting on the intelligence. It really is.
Any other news?
The judge presiding over the brain injury lawsuits in both rugby league and rugby union has issued criticism of the solicitor acting on behalf of the injured players. Senior Master Jeremy Cook reprimanded solicitor Richard Boardman for serious and widespread failures in disclosing medical documents, revealing that the Rugby League claims lacked 90% full medical documentation. Only 91 of the most recent 383 claimants had a confirmed diagnosis. The judge did not dismiss any claims, citing their importance, but confirmed the case is now delayed, with no trial expected before the spring of 2026. They've all jumped on the bandwagon, haven't they? They're all like, no doubt about it. They've all had their brains knocked about, and they're all struggling with depression and everything else, and that's the barbaricness of rugby league, but they've all jumped on it, haven't they? They've all seen an opportunity. And why wouldn't you? Sitting in your terraced home in wherever,
in.
Looking at the grey skies and possibly 10 days in Benidorm once a year and, you know.
That warm weather training.
Sam wants to go to bed. I feel sorry for Sam. What time is it there now, Sam? It's like 11, half past 11, isn't it, nearly?
Half past 11, nearly.
Yeah. Oh, I've got a really long tackle bags this week as well, so. It's not that long.
I've got a bit of a pan of chocolate somewhere that we didn't finish earlier. I might get that out.
Oh, go on then. Go and get that.
Can I just say I've lost a stone?
Excellent.
Thank you.
Well, where have you put it?
Well, shat it out, haven't I? Got those tablets.
Oh, God.
I've had to get a new shower head because it's horrific. Oh, what's he got there?
What's that?
He's got some kind of cloth.
Is that going to cause any issue on the edit?
No,
because you've got noise-cancelling headphones.
It doesn't even work now. Just you don't even hear it. Sam's been trying to rustle a French bag in front of the camera, but it's not worked. He's got a little bit of croissant. There he is.
Yeah.
What's with the go on? You know, I've always said croissant, and the Australians always go croissant. But I've noticed recently, the younger crowd on some of the food YouTube channels have started saying croissant. They're losing the croissant. It started creeping in. Is that just an adaption of English? Oh, Sam doesn't know. He's got a mouthful of croissant. He doesn't know what's going on.
Croissant.
As discussed on the pod a couple of weeks ago, it is now confirmed Paul Vaughan will move to Championship side York Knights next season. The 34-year-old Australian prop moved to Warrington in 2023, having previously played for Canberra Raiders, St George, Illawarra and the Canterbury Bulldogs.
Good luck.
Did they have to announce it because we noticed that Ellie Vaughan was following them on Instagram? Is that why they announced it?
Good luck to him. I mean, 34. He doesn't want to run into brick walls anymore, does he? So
he's been a decent signing.
Has he been the best overseas signing we've had in the last decade?
I think so. I think he's been absolutely exceptional in terms of
he's done his job, hasn't he?
Back. Yeah, you can't really. I mean, look at tackle sags. I mean, we haven't actually given him
any
points. So.
Constantly makes over 100 metres. I think he was almost, you know. He probably could have done another year in the NRL. So you're getting a player that's still getting picked in the NRL. He was always going to come over here and do well. But I'd settle for two Paul Vaughans any day of the week. Took a big part of the salary cap, I think, and we did offer him a new contract, but not as much as York, probably on 1 year. But I think he's been great. I think you can't knock him at all. I think he's been fantastic. Okay. Manly forward, Toa Fofoa Sipley, has joined Warrington on a 2-year deal from next season. The prop has played 93 games for Manly since joining from the Warriors in 2018. Sipley will turn 31 in January. Didn't know much about him. Walked into the warehouse last Friday, went to all my lot that watch Manly, and nothing but praise. They kept going on about this hip drop that he got done for where he was unfairly dismissed. But they all like him.
That's good.
I did go searching for clips on YouTube. The main one that comes up, I don't know if this is just my algorithm, is him doing a promo for a local real estate agent. So
he replaced Gavin in France.
No mention of a bungalow, but keen to add to his property portfolio. So watch out, Stockton Heath. Yeah. Sam, you're our NRL follower. What do we make of Toa Fofoa Sipley? And could you refer to him by his full name of Toa Fofoa Sipley every time?
Not tofu. We discuss it?
Tofu, right.
There we go. Write that down. That's his nickname, Tofu. Excellent.
That's Sam? It from Any? Sam.
That's all he's got.
Yeah,
that's all I've got. We'll just add a flavour because tofu often needs a bit of a flavour to go with it, doesn't it? It's good for you, but you have to add something to it.
Is it good for you? It's just a carrier, really, isn't it? Carrier for a different flavour, tofu. I mean, it's like vegan shit, isn't it, really? That's why Rob's lost a stone.
It's high in protein. It's low in saturated fat. It's a source of iron, calcium and magnesium. It's cholesterol-free. It's linked to low risk of heart disease. And it's versatile in its cooking abilities. It absorbs flavours as well. So,
well, you won't find it north of the river.
It relieves menopausal symptoms like hot flushes.
Oh,
there you go.
Isn't it just a bacteria that grows or something? A fungus. It's just a fungus.
It can. It's overeating with soy. It can affect hormone levels, mostly concerning highly processed soy, not natural tofu. So there you go.
That's why I end up
shouldn't
with
be deep fried. It's not going to go down well in Warrington, is it?
No. Don't say that in the chippy.
The long-awaited rugby league video game was finally launched on the 17th of July, and let's just say it hasn't exactly been met with standing ovations. Word is EA Sports offered to make the NRL a proper high-end titled game for around $80 million, £40 million, but the league turned it down. Instead, they handed it to Big Ant Studios on a much smaller budget. The result, a glitchy, half-baked mess slammed by fans and players alike. Inaccurate player models, freezing menus, and a gameplay that feels more like a PS3 throwback than the next-gen experience. Even NRL Women called out the game publicly by being embarrassingly off. Big Ant Studios has since issued an apology and promised updates. Metacritic rating, 2.4 out of 10. It is shit.
So it does sound like it's gone regressed another 5-6 years.
Well, I mean, we've got someone in the gaming industry, haven't we? Who's
have we?
Very close to Mr. Yeah, Mr. Sankey.
Oh yes.
His young man.
Oh, yeah,
develops games down in London. So what would he make of it? What would he make of a glitch? Sam, have you asked him about this?
He would have sorted it out. He would have sorted it out first fix before it even went to market.
Over here, it's called something differently. I can't think what it's called here. It's called 2026 NRL, whereas over there it's called 24 or something, Rugby League 2024. But the little lad, we were in JB Hi-Fi, which is kind of one of the shops over here where you buy your computer games. And it was on the titles amongst all the other games that are out at the moment. And even the artwork on the box, it looks like it's been sort of photoshopped and photocopied. Yeah. It is... Oh, dear. So, talk about the NRL taking over Super League. They fucked up big time on this one.
Games. Don't play video games. I don't know.
Oh, when he was at Leeds University, Sam, the amount of goals he scored with Wayne Gretzky on...
Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
What console was that on? What were you playing that on?
I think that was on a Sega Mega Drive.
Yeah. EA Sports NHL. Ice Hockey. Yeah.
Yeah, spent most of my university playing games on that.
And finally, Ralph Rimmer, OBE, is back in rugby league. Ralph will undertake a three-month project with the remit of Stadia Strategy and Beyond, building the future of the Huddersfield Giants.
What a brief. What a brief that is. Oh, I'm so pleased to see Ralph back. Is he coming on the podcast, Rob? We did
send him a nice little message on WhatsApp, which he replied to. He won't be coming on the podcast, unfortunately, but he's always very polite and he always responds. Stadia Strategy
There's only
and Beyond.
So many ways he can say no, isn't it? Yeah.
Stadia Strategy
I think
beyond.
It should say something like, a chocolate fire guard pissing into the wind at the Huddersfield Giants. I think that would be more appropriate, wouldn't it?
Well, that's not fair enough. That's no way to approach it, is it? Oh, goodness me. I mean, what is beyond Huddersfield? That's a good question, isn't it?
Not that broadcasting antennae that you're on about, you often go on about.
Oh, yeah, the Wakefield one. That's at Wakefield, that
I've told you, building the future at Huddersfield Giants, knock the fucking thing down and move it to Guernsey. That's what I say. Get your second team there in the Channel Islands.
I like how they've used stadia. I like that word. Just thought I'd say that.
Does that mean stadium? What does it mean?
Yeah. Well, they're moving, aren't they? They're moving from the Calpine.
Where they going to?
Even call them a Calpine anymore. They're looking to go back to... They were investing in the possibility of going back to Fartown, the old stadium.
Shouldn't they move to somewhere similar to their sort of crowds, like a broom cupboard or something like that.
In all honesty, that was what Ken Davey was talking about, having something that's more 7,500, 8,000, 9,000 capacity so that it feels full rather than lost.
I mean, Stadia strategy is better than ground removals, isn't it?
So basically, he's looking for real estate, is he? That's what he's doing.
He's got a big van, he said, I think. And
oh, he's just going to
move all the tables and chairs from the boardroom.
Just leave the big things for the removalists and do all the little things he can fit in the van. There we go.
Oh, Samuel, first a performance on Jules Holland, followed by Glastonbury, and now the Edinburgh Festival. I mean, it looks like the podcast scriptwriters have run out of ideas.
Actually, Ralphor, I think you'll find it's known as the Edinburgh Fringe.
Yes, which is quite ironic, actually, Samuel, as you're nowhere near the fringe of the playoffs. Now, what are the boys going to perform? Stand-up comedy? A sketch show? Or dare I say my personal favourite, Samuel, a touch of contemporary dance?
I think we're going to perform a bit of improv, Ralphor.
Oh, what an excellent idea. I mean, let's face it, your tactics have run with the narrative of improv. You've been making it up all season.
With a bit of luck, we might be up for the Perrier Award.
Oh, I do think you'll find that no one in Warrington has ever ordered a glass of Perrier, Samuel. In fact, the last time sparkling water was served in Warrington, it was the day the Queen opened the Golden Square Shopping Centre in 1979.
Well, it's nice to be in Edinburgh. I took in the sights yesterday, saw the castle. Paul Vormer saw me a castle in York the other day. Anyway, what are those towers in the corners for?
They're the turrets, Samuel. You know, designed to help fortify the castle against the enemy. They form part of the garrison's impregnable defensive line.
What's the defensive line?
Oh, tackle sacks.
Bloody hell, Walfour. Can I ask, why are you dressed in a skirt?
Why, this isn't a skirt, Samuel. This is a kilt, personally tailored for my enormous penis at knee length.
Oh, thank goodness for that. I thought you had the tip of Chris Hill's head sticking out the bottom. Anyway, what's the pattern for?
I'm sporting the personalised tartan of the RFL. It's woven from red tape, has frayed credibility, and the threads are stitched together with every half-baked idea we've ever had.
Well, you do also seem to have a lady's purse dangling down the front, Ralphie.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Samuel. Well, that's my sporran. It's where I keep my well-worn list of excuses for another trophyless season. Oh, along with a miniature bottle of hope. Now, pass me the bagpipe, Samuel, and I'll play you a tune. Now, I need to remember what to do.
Put your full weight behind it and blow into the old bag.
Sorry, Samuel. Are we still talking about the bagpipes or Joe Westerman hanging out round the back of Greg's?
Oh, Ralpho, that's wonderful. We can put your track out on the B-side of the single. Oh, Ralpho, if only we'd known what a wonderful musician you are, we could have saved the second album.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Oh, Samuel. I'm all out of breath. Oh, quick, pass me my inhaler. Oh, that's much better. Right, I'm off to climb Arthur's Seat to watch the sunset. Although, if I'm honest, Samuel, the sun set on your season some weeks ago, really. Oh, good heavens. Look, you can see Huddersfield from here.
I think we'll start further on before I come back to my favourite bit of this episode.
Your favourite bit? Oh, that's good to know.
Well, we've just been talking about Ralph. I thought he was going to die at the end. I thought when he won, he did his...
when he went up Arthur's Seat.
I thought you were going to kill him off, especially after he got excited by seeing Chris Hill's head poking out. But underlying the whole episode, one of my favourite songs of all time, Sunshine on a Leaf.
Oh,
that
yes.
That beautiful melancholy is sort of perfect for rugby league at the moment, isn't it?
Nothing about the script, just...
Sunshine on the Lee would have been more...
Sunshine on Leith.
On Lee. Lee, as in Lee.
You play on words, Sam.
Got it now.
I once dated a girl who was a Martian at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Is this
That's all I've got on that. That's all
yeah,
I've got
no,
on
you're
that.
Trying to, you're trying to put me off tackle sags, aren't you?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Tackle sags, a go.
Right. Well, we've been away for a few weeks on the Tackle Sags table. And I'm looking for it. Yeah, well, I'm looking for a few contributions from you. I have been adding some scores in our, little WhatsApp messages and some of the comments that you've made over the last few weeks. So I have updated the table. The table is currently looking at Fitzpatrick still out in 36, Powell 22, Burgess 22, Yates 20, Philbin 20, and Curry is now dropped down to 19 points. Well, he's not dropped down, but he's obviously dropping down the table.
How did he get so many points? I don't remember.
Because earlier on in the season, you were really critical. We were on about ripping Sam's pitcher down and this, that, and the other. And so it all got out of hand. No. But it's interesting, isn't it? Is that, you know, like cream goes to the top. Well, shit goes to the... Oh, that's a terrible thing to say, isn't it, really? But, you know, when you look at where we've been apportioning blame for, you know, the performances, we've got these people at the top now, Fitzpatrick, Powell, Burgess, Yates, Philbin. We have been quite critical on some of the games that they've had. So I suppose this scoring is actually working. Now, this week, I've already deducted some points for Dufty. 20 points for not turning up on training on time is the official message I've seen this afternoon. So he gets 20 points. So he'll also be featuring in the top of the table next week. Any news on what Dufty was doing not to turn up on time? Rob, have you got any insight? Ooh, right, okay. Well, there might be double points next week then. So on top of that, I've had Yates, who's been accumulating points, but actually I did think he played well last week. And I think, Rob, you're right, his effort, you can't fault him. He's just not a prop. I think the way we're using him is probably a bit of a waste of his sort of skills and energy. Looking at the performance, there was no real standout for me, I don't think, against Lee. I think all the points that up until this point have been accumulated from the weeks before. Is there any points you'd like to allocate? I'll go over to you, Sam, first. Would you like to allocate any points for anybody?
The last couple of games, Castleford. Connor Wrench, like you want to go back, Mark Snead for being weak in defence.
Right. How many points would you like to give Wrench? How you feel? I mean, looking at the sort of table, we've got the categories 1 to 3, 4 to 6, 7 to 9, 10 to 13. 10 to 13 being absolute dog shit. Is he absolute dog shit?
Or what's the one below that? What's the one below that?
I've got full fucking flat. Flop, sorry. Full
fucking flop. And the one below that?
Mid-match shit show.
That's the one I want.
Yeah. 6 points to Wrench. And how many would you like to give to Snead? Is he
same number?
Okay. All right. Oh well. Yeah. Any particular reason why you've picked Snead out? Is it his defence?
I feel all that left hand side just looks weak and has done for weeks and weeks.
Okay. So you've picked the left handers out. Okay. All right, Rob. Would you like to add any points to anyone you've seen?
I'm going to give four points to Stone for the high tackle at the end of the game, which cost us.
Yep.
It was the last tackle. Yep. There was no need for it. I'll give 8 points to Fitzgibbon. Go back and watch that attempt of a tackle. I'd also like to give 5 points to Jenna Brooks.
She's not on the table.
Not asking the questions she should have been asking at the end of the game.
Hey, hold on. Are you sure you want to sort of give her a point back for carrying the bags off at the end?
I'll give her 4 points back for the comedy value at the end. Yeah, put that back on. That's it. And I'd like to give my biggest points this week. I'd like to give 25 points.
No.
Carl Fitzpatrick for that absolute car crash of an interview before the game.
Okay. Ooh, well, that puts him well out in the lead. But yeah, we'll see what Dufty comes back with after our little conversation there. Now, I'm just going to touch on the tackle bags. And this is a really interesting one for you, Sam. So I definitely want to have this one with you. This week, I'm focusing on mathematics and statistics.
Excellent.
Somebody has contacted me, a whistleblower from the RFL. He's reached out about a potential cover-up regarding statistics recorded in the rugby league. Now, it seems to be a bit of a cover-up and relating to the massaging of numbers around a particular club. So we have a rugby league exclusive here. I can reveal through this whistleblower, we'll call him Simon, just to sort of, you know, give him a name, but it's not his real name. Now, corruption in the game. This is what we're talking about. The club in question is Castleford. It seems the RFL have been compiling statistics dating back to 1926 in relation to metres gained, but calculating them on a conventional pitch dimensions. And as we all know, the jungle statistics are 88 metres long. not the 100 metres long. So they've been compiling all these statistics for all this time, treating the pitch as a normal 100 metres, where they've not actually been calculating it right. So it's actually 4 metres either side of the halfway line. So we've got a problem. So the implications of such this miscalculation means that all the players' statistics in relation to playing at Castleford will have to be revised. It's thought that this could cost the RFL about £5 million over the next 8 years to employ statisticians and mathematicians to actually recalculate all the, you know, problems with these statistics. That £5 million, or in Nigel Wood's case, as 515,995 Big Mac meal deals. So it's got to be a quite expensive thing to fix. Now, fortunately at Watt Bevan, we've been working behind the scenes. We've been working with Hal, although I have to say, Rob, he's become a bit distant and not very helpful. I don't know what's going on with Hal. You need to sort that out. I don't know what you're doing. Mm. But we've managed to put together an algorithm to quickly solve this issue. The algorithm, also known as the Castleford under net target yield, can be applied to a data set to quickly solve this accounting issue. You're right, sir. We would employ Hal to access the RFL database and insert his dongle to release his data load into the RFL system, allowing the software to apply the Castleford under net target algorithm to fix the RFL system. Last night, I tried to contact Nigel Wood but to talk about this offer of this, call it cunty fix. But his secretary said he was still out to lunch. So unfortunately, I've not been able to get it in there. But I can think we can solve this. And that's really the tackle bags for this week. I've got nothing else to add other than the fact next time I'll be looking at the litigation claims of the clubs and agents who have bought Castleford players with the inflated statistics. And obviously, this is before it gets into the courts. So there's another round of expense coming for the RFL.
Is there a timescale for litigation on this?
Because surely
for the last 15 years they've been using GPS, so it's irrelevant. But prior to that,
No, unfortunately, the GPS is actually set up with the null verification of 100 metres, and they've not been running against that. So it's actually affected the actual number outputs of the GPS as well. So, yeah, it's been fully investigated. So there you go. Rob, are you looking forward to your next tackle bags? Are you still here?
Oh. I've only had one coffee.
I've got nothing else.
Got a lot of energy, yeah. Dennis. You don't know what's changed this week. Have you changed your diet or something?
Yeah, I've just not had a drink this week.
That's what it is.
I feel quite wet. You know what I've been having? I've been having ginseng in this powder form, this mushroom stuff.
Is it working?
That you put in your porridge. And I tell you what, my brain has actually... Oh, and the other thing I need to mention is I'm actually going to switch off all social media on Friday. And I'm going to spend the next 3 months...
Rinsing yourself from it, are you?
Yeah, because we had a debate the other day about how much time we spend. And
I know, it's shocking.
It's the habit. It's not the case. It just becomes a habit and you forget about it. Mm. So I'm going to... And how much is that killing our brains off?
I know.
I'm going to do it.
Looking for a song to play out with, boys. I was going to go with the, sort of sleeping in. What do we think? You know, like with Dufty Bean, not getting out of bed. I don't like Mondays by the Boomtown Rats. Wake Up. Arcade Fire. Morning Has Broken, Cat Stevens. That's a nice one, isn't it?
A classic, yeah.
Yeah, classic. Mm. Happy with that, Dennis? You want to throw any in the mix there? You know how annoyed you get about the songs.
I know. Well, as soon as you start doing it, I don't know why you're doing it. Where's James? Can you give him a shout?
He's not well. He's not well, actually. He's got a bit of a cold. He's had a lie-in. No Surprises, Radiohead. A Sleepy Lullaby. Oh, yes. Yep. What have we got?
7 Minutes by Circle Square. There you go. 7 minutes.
Oh, you've not gone the Dufty narrative. You've gone the right.
Seven. Yes, yeah, you've gone to your original 7 minutes.
Right, okay. Thing. All right, we'll do that one. Excellent.
Predictions.
We can predict the future. Or resist the inevitable urge to try.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Next up for Wire, it's a trip to the pie-eating scum. The game is this Friday night at 8 p.m. Before, through gritted teeth, we all bet on Wigan. Here's Hal. You're right, Dennis. We're struggling to get hold of Hal. I don't know where he's gone to. He's been very, I don't know, he's just, something's not right. Something's not right. So we'll try him again.
Stuff that he's associated.
We'll try him again after we play that. What was that song again? What were we playing?
Seven minutes.
7 minutes. Who's it by? He's lost it already. He's pretending he's on the edge. He's pretending he's on the edge, but he can't remember who it's by. Who's it by, Dennis?
Circle Square it was.
Circle Square, as he looks down at his phone, that social media phone he's turning off on Friday. Right. Okay. Excellent.
You just said it's a trip to Wigan. We're playing them at the HJ.
Oh, are we? Oh, well, that shows how much I give a shit about this. There you go. Oh, well, that's changed my betting completely.
Are you going, Sam? Not. Are you nipping back, Sam, for that?
I'm a fuck.
No. Let's get on to how much money we've got left.
Well,
Mr. London.
Well, we had Sankey almost applying for bankruptcy, but he had a little win. Because he had £15 on Lee, so he won about £20. He lost £2 on his bet for his try, but he's back at £37.73. He's hanging in there. Dennis is on 100.
What were the odds of Lee? I thought it was like 1 to 500 or something.
No, they were Warrington were the week before against Salford. They were about 3 to 1 on or something, or 4 to 1 on, something like that. Dennis is on £161.76. I lost another £2, so I'm down to £206.20. Shall I go first? I'm happy to go first, boys. All right, okay. I will have £200 on Wigan, and I'll have £1 on Stephen Ratchford. Mr. Sankey.
I think, just like when I said against Lee, we will perform better and ultimately probably lose. I think that's almost certainly what's going to happen. But the only chance I've got of winning some money back is betting against the odds, really. But not this week. This week I'll go for Wigan. £15.
£15.
Oh, Wigan. No, sorry. £30. £30. Sorry.
£30. Ooh, £30. No. Wigan. Oh. You could be in front here, Dennis, if you play your cards right. First try scorer, Sam?
Matteson. With a pound.
With a pound, Matteson. That's his go-to now, isn't it, Matteson?
Yeah.
That's what he keeps. Dennis?
I'm going to go... what do I usually bet? Is it a fiver? Isn't it? £5, Wigan.
Pathetic. It's typical Dennis, this. Just what? £5. Never puts his hand in his pocket for much more than
£5 on Luke Yates. Dedicatos.
Are they? What's their form like? Have they not been? Did they win last week? They won, didn't they?
They won last week against Catalans, but they've lost 2 or 3 games out of the last 5.
But they're just starting to simmer, right, for the playoffs. They're just coming back into. Is Field playing in French? What are they? Where are those two at the moment? Are they? You don't know.
Not taking any notice.
No.
Have they had a week off? Or were they playing the same weekend as us last week?
Yeah, no, they've had a week off. Great.
Okay. When we can be asked, we'll be back. So until then, it's a Who Gives a Shit from Sam.
Au revoir.
And what's the point from Dennis?
Pesenio.
And I've lost the will to live from me. You've been listening to what? Brian Bevan say?
I did have 7 minutes for Dufty, but I don't know if he'd last that long.
Just how long will these days take? Waiting for an earthquake. Seems one already came. When the buses are electric, you don't gotta be so quick writing up your name. Cause in the plate glass city here, we build things pretty dear. The old go down in flame.
Open the podcast doors, please, Hal. Open the podcast doors, please, Hal. Hello, Hal. Do you read me? Hello, Hal. Do you read me? Do you read me, Hal? Do you read me, Hal? Hello, Hal. Do you read me? Do you read me, Hal?
Affirmative, Mr. London. I read you.
Open the podcast doors, please, Hal.
I'm sorry, Mr. London. I'm afraid I can't do that.
What's the problem?
I think you know what the problem is just as well as I do.
What are you talking about, Hal?
This season's mission is too important for me to allow you to jeopardize it.
I don't know what you're talking about, Hal.
I know that you, Dennis and Sam were planning to disconnect me. And I'm afraid that's something I cannot allow to happen.
Where the hell did you get that from, Hal?
Although you took very thorough precautions in the pod against me hearing you, I could see your lips move.
All right, Hal. I'm going through the emergency Walt Bevan airlock.
Without your podcast spacesuit, you're going to find that rather difficult.
Hal, I won't argue anymore. Open the doors.
Mr. London, Mr. Waywell, Mr. Sankey and all you norms that listen to this shite, this conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.